Hello, listeners. This is the second hour of the Out of This World radio program with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting from the studios of KKNW in Bellevue, Washington, near Seattle, USA, North America, on 1150 AM. The program focuses on out-of-this-world information, including psychic phenomena, UFOs, metaphysics, and predictions for the coming years in Seattle, the United States, and beyond. Today, we will have only the best psychics, astrologers, and UFO researchers in the world on our program, and I guarantee it'll be the most interesting radio program you've ever listened to, as you will hear information here that you will simply not hear elsewhere. We are also the fastest-growing psychic and metaphysical radio program in the world, and we now have listeners in over 60 different countries on all the world's continents. And to my friends and listeners in Switzerland, Germany, and Österreich, willkommen nach die Aus von der Welt Radio, and I hope you will enjoy the show. You can also follow us on Twitter at Ted Marr, OTW Radio, that's T-E-D-M-A-H-R, O-T-W in caps radio, and on Facebook at Out of This World Radio. I wanted to also thank my dear friend Carol for her moral support and for designing for helping me with my website and for moral support with the program, without whose support this program would not be possible, as well as Ann Nelson, a dear friend of mine at Walla Walla College who's been a great supporter, and Michiko and Dr. Emoto and his wonderful Emoto Peace Project in Japan, and my earthly and angelic family. I want everyone to take a moment. I ask this last hour or two to spend a minute just sending some good prayers and good thoughts to Dr. Emoto. He's not feeling well. He's had some respiratory problems in China. He's there now. But if you could please send him your light and love, I know he would appreciate to help him feel better. I want to thank everyone as well in the Switzerland, Japan, the United States, and Canada who donated to the radio program last week after I was robbed of $1,500. The cost to keep this program going per month is between $1,200 to $1,600, and it's imported entirely by donations. For those who'd like to donate $25 or more, we'll get a free psychic reading, and those who donate $10 will get a wonderful spiritual program, a spiritual prayer for protection that I guarantee will really work. If you'd like to donate, please go to our website at www.outofthisworld1150.com and just click on the donate button for PayPal. Even a dollar will really help. I also wanted to tell everyone about the wonderful psychic conference I'm having. We're sponsoring from November 21st to the 23rd in Port Townsend, Washington. For more information about the conference, please go to our website again at www.outofthisworld1150.com and click on the psychic conference toward the bottom of the page. I have on the line Elena Freeland. We were just speaking with her last hour. Toward the end of the program, we will also be having on Wendy Wilson, one of the best herbalists on the East Coast. She will be giving some herbal remedies for purging yourself of the chemicals from chemtrails, as well as Scott Lemriel, a Hollywood writer, author, and producer, and actor, who's just written a book called The Sayre's Agenda, who has had face-to-face contact with benevolent mostly human extraterrestrials for the last 52 years, and he will give some truly out-of-this-world perspectives on chemtrails and some spiritual solutions for combating them. Anyway, Elena, welcome back to the program. Thank you so much for being here.
Oh, thank you. Yes, I think we were talking about the quality of the warmth that we're all experiencing.
Correct, yes, about the sunshine and how it feels much hotter than it used to be when I was a kid.
Right, and I would like to just spend a few minutes explaining that. I mean, I think the unusual thing about the book I've just written and was just published, actually it was only published 2 months ago and it's selling great, is that this relationship between chemtrails and HAARP, when I first got into this, it was years ago. In fact, it was in 1996, I bought Dr. Nick Begich and Gene Manning's book, Angels Don't Play This HAARP. And at that time, I had an experience which led me to see that it was a pretty hot topic. I had taken the book with me to a substitute teaching job in the North End here in Pacific Northwest, North End of my town, where I was substitute teaching at schools where Army and Air Force kids were going because they were near a dual base that's near me. And two of the faculty, two male faculty members, sat down at my table, and there was another woman sitting at the table who was looking down at her sandwich the whole time we were talking. They were asking me about the book I was reading, and I explained the little I knew about HAARP, and they looked through it and were quite interested. And then I went home and didn't think any more about it, and the next day I had an Army helicopter over my house, which stayed about 5 minutes, as I assume I was, my coordinates were being logged. And that was when the trouble with my phone began, and various things that happened to me over the next few years. So I already had a dose of how secret this operation was, but I had not connected it because I wasn't noticing chemtrails until later in the mid-2000s, I think, 2005, 2006, I really was looking at them, and I was living in London at that time, and every day London looked like a crossword puzzle. So when I got back from England and moved back to Santa Fe, where I had lived before for grad school, and got to know Clifford Carnicom and his wife, I noticed that there were many chemtrails over us there, and Clifford was analyzing them. He had been analyzing them since the mid-90s. And so that began a chapter in my life. You'd think I would have thought of writing a book at that point, but I really hadn't. I was working on some other books. And then Adam Parfrey at Farrell House contacted me and asked me if I thought I could write a book on chemtrails. And I thought I knew enough at that point. But, of course, once you start deeply researching and really doing it on a daily level for hours and hours, you can really find out how, not just facts, but more important is the mental picture that you can make with all those facts. And I have a rule in writing that I don't want to write just facts and leave the work of putting it together to my readers, but I want to develop my own mental pictures, because then I know that I can write out of the right mental space by which readers can then develop mental pictures of their own. So I had not put together chemtrails and HAARP, and that's what this book does. That's its strength. I show how they work together, how since Bernard Eastland's 1987 patent, it's in the patent that it needs chemtrails, it needs heavy metal particulates, and so when we experience the heat we're experiencing, what we're experiencing is not just the conductive heavy metals, but we're experiencing our own atmosphere has been transformed into a plasma ionized atmosphere. And that means an electrified atmosphere. That means that it's being zapped consistently in order by many, not just by HAARP up in Gakona, Alaska, which is at this point the least of our worries. This is a worldwide system set up of ionospheric heaters that are zapping the ionosphere and pulling our jet stream up into the ionosphere, breaking electrons, forcing electrons off of atoms, ionizing them, sucking them back down into our atmosphere, into the troposphere where we breathe, and utilizing that transformed atmosphere for various military industrial agendas. So when you're experiencing this heat, which some people even say, I feel like I'm in a microwave oven. In a sense, that is exactly accurate, because the barium and the aluminum and strontium that we have inhaled is in our blood system and is resonating heat from inside to match and meet the ionized heat outside of us. It's a whole different experience of heat.
What you've just said is very profound and very interesting, because humanity, of course, evolved on this planet in a completely different ecosystem. Do you think it's part of a long-term agenda to perhaps decrease the population of this planet?
Well, I'm asked that a lot, and I am sure that That could be a possibility, absolutely. I think what we're going through now, we're going through a transition period from the old tech based on resources to the new tech, which is going to be basically based on electromagnetics. And during this interim, there are many, many experiments being run with this technology. It's in medicine, it's in engineering, it's in terraforming of the planet, it's real estate, it's weather derivatives on Wall Street, it's disaster capitalism, it's muscling nations and making them do what the United States wants them to do. There are many agendas that are now running experiments and very happy to have millions, billions of human beings who can be the guinea pigs and provide the petri dishes in their own biological bodies for various elements being dropped with the heavy metals. I mean, we haven't talked about the polymers. We haven't talked about the biological hybrids that have been genetically engineered that we're all breathing and taking in and that are now being found in placenta. So if there is an agenda to eliminate human beings, it will probably be done a little later after we've served our purpose as petri dishes.
I've heard somewhere that Bill Gates, of all people, had contributed $350 million to the chemtrail program last year for two purposes, to increase the sulfur dumping into our atmosphere and also for biological agents. Have you heard anything of that?
Yes. The Bill Gates who... if I could be a little humorous, but a little bit of truth in it, too. I actually had a friend who worked with Bill Gates and was number three in his empire at one time. Mm-hmm. That Bill Gates was a different guy than the one now. Mm-hmm. And I always remember how Bill Gates, if you recall, was resisting. I remember Bill Joy from Sun Systems and other, probably AT&T. He was resisting being a team player with these other vast telecommunications entities, all of which are actually military contractors, and we tend to forget that. And then suddenly he's playing ball with them, and all his money, he forms this foundation with his wife, and the foundation's supporting this and this and this, and it's another Bill Gates. So I know he's involved in, he certainly is a New World Order player, and his money is going toward many nefarious objectives. None of which I would say are kind and benevolent at all. And he is very much serving what I would call a transhumanist future.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure my guest, Scott Lemriel, will have more to say about that toward the end of the hour. But I was just curious about that. You mentioned, you write about Fukushima in your book. And I have to tell you, I do have some dear friends in Japan who I speak with regularly. And they tell me that it's, quote, common knowledge among the Japanese people that the so-called tsunami that hit the Fukushima nuclear reactors back in 2011 were actually caused by an explosion nuclear device placed at just at the right place at the bottom of the Pacific Ocean, not far from Japan, so that it would a tsunami would come in and wreck the reactors. And it was done, many of the Japanese people, I'm told, believe that it was done because the current Japanese government the old Japanese government back then was not playing ball with the New World Order, and to get them back in line, they caused this disaster. Have you heard anything about that? You do write a little bit about that in your book.
Well, I do. I make a very strong case for the truth behind that. What people don't remember is that it was a real triple event, and the final coup de grace was the one you're talking about, and it really, if you look at the date that it happened, it'll be very clear to you that it was an intentional sabotage. And I would say, yes, New World Order, but let's just say it like it is. It was the United States that, and probably the UK. I mean, you can't really say United US without saying UK in the same breath. They're mm-hmm. sort of on the same team. Mm-hmm. A team that, by the way, is very different from the EU, which most people don't know. So, yes, I make a strong case. At that time, what was going on politically in Japan, one of the things that was very powerful was the prime minister at that time, whose name I don't remember, he was listening to his people about getting U.S. bases out of Japan. And had this not occurred, that might have been on a referendum, and it might have passed, because Japan is probably sick and tired of what was done at the end of World War II. Their constitution was rewritten by the Americans. MacArthur was there. Their wealth was confiscated. So there are many things. And if you, again, look at the numbers of when this radiation event took place, it's my opinion that this might be yet another generational experiment on radiation. So they dropped the bombs in Hiroshima and Nagasaki. They then have run, have kept very clear what I call Nazi records of the illnesses that occurred, the deaths, the mayhem. And now it was 44 years later, as I recall, and it was time for another event. Because along with the transhumanist future, it's my opinion that the powers that be are very interested in seeing just how we can evolve to handle radiation. And I think that they're not at all concerned that plumes are heading over the ocean and wafting across the United States, and our radiation levels are higher than they were before Fukushima. I think that it's all experimental. And when I'm asked the next question, which is, well, why would the elites do this to their own children? Why would they do this to their own families? I always answer, I can think of three things, and I'm sure there are more possibilities. One being, many of these elites who sponsor this thrust into the future that is more and more looking anti-human and anti-life, I don't think most of them know what's really being done. Mm-hmm. I think they're being told one thing, and that they the scientists certainly are operating on a compartmentalized need-to-know basis. They don't even know the full ramifications of the projects that they're working on, and they often regret their part in these projects later. So there are some elites who would fall into that category. Mm-hmm. Second, many elites, from my studies of them, and I've known a few of these people in my life, I would say that they treat their children terribly, even to the point of pedophilia, and preparing them for the hard labor of carrying the family wealth, the corporate wealth of the family, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And so I don't think they're, I think they're more involved in their agendas for power, and maybe even ideals, mm-hmm. than they are protection of their families. Mm. And then the final one is, as you know, some chemtrails they stop, and then they'll go for several miles, and then they'll start again. It's possible with the drift of air, et cetera, that some of these, maybe someone pays the people that are handling that particular flight path, pays for them to skip their area. It's just an idea.
Yeah, you just don't know. You mentioned the radiation plume coming in from Fukushima. There was a huge radiation plume headed directly for the West Coast and directly for Washington State, our coast here, about 4 months ago. It had taken some time since the Fukushima nuclear accident in 2011, but it was coming here. It was all documented scientifically. But you know what, Elena? It's gone. It's all gone. All the from what I've been told, the tests that have been run now, in September of 2014, the radiation now has gone off the Washington coast, off the California coast, Oregon coast, off of British Columbia, off of Alaska. The only problem now with the radiation is that is the immediate vicinity right around Fukushima, which the Japanese government continues to allow 85,000 gallons of highly radioactive water to be dumped daily into the Pacific Ocean, which I cannot understand. But I'm sure my other guest, Scott, will be able to say a little bit about this in a few minutes toward the end of the hour. But from I've been told that the Galactic Alliance has come in and cleaned up much of the Pacific, so that's why the radiation's gone. Our Earth scientists are scratching, a lot of them are scratching their heads and wondering, well, gee, where did the radiation go? Well, friends, I think the answer is we had friends friends from far out of town who didn't want to destroy ourselves. The other thing, too, is that I think many of the political leaders in many countries are simply controlled. They march to a different agenda. You talk about Bill Gates and how he's changed from what he used to be like. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of good people, this applies more to politicians, but once they get into office, I think they change completely. I think President Obama, for all of his faults and criticisms now, I think he wanted to do good for the United States before he was elected. But after he got elected, he's made a series of decisions which a lot of people disagree with, including shutting down all 8 air and water federal monitoring stations on the West Coast here so that we can't tell from the EPA now, as per his orders last year, does not measure radiation coming in from Fukushima. President Obama also increased the amount of so-called acceptable radiation from nuclear accidents by 10,000%, guaranteeing many, many, many more human deaths as a result of radiation from Fukushima or another nuclear accident. But your perspective is very interesting. You also write about Katrina as well. What do you know about the hurricane that hit Katrina and Harp, Elena?
Well, I do write about them in a chapter because there's also this question of disaster capitalism, weather derivatives, what I think is being called terraforming. And for what I see, certainly the Katrina one is very interesting to me, and that's what I was alerted early. In the early hours after the hurricane was hitting, around the same time, there were some Doppler satellite, some coverage going on, and somehow I came across one of those Doppler events where you can see actually the hurricane moving in from the east in the Gulf and heading for the mouth of the Mississippi River. Mm-hmm. And then what was surprising to me is I then saw another blob of green coming from the west, seemingly from, it looked to me like it was Houston, and it was pushing that other one back, and it managed to push it back, and then that one pushed this other one. It was as though I was witnessing the War of the Titans, and then suddenly the one in the west, which had been pushing the one going east, backed off and then began to disintegrate. And then the other one went up the mouth of the Mississippi. And if you recall, it missed its mark. And I believe it missed its mark, and then they had to detonate certain canals in the poor districts of the port of New Orleans. You know, FEMA was there and communications were shut down to Washington, et cetera. So it was obviously orchestrated. Hmm. But what was most interesting to me was I do not think that blob of energy pushing it back from the west was foreseen. And I do not know who that might have been or how that was, because once I realized what I'd seen and I did not download that and began to look for it on the web, it was gone. Mm-hmm. So for me, Katrina was in 2005, that was completely contrived. It was a way to redo the port, and I call it a real estate deal, just the same as Christchurch in Australia and New Zealand was a real estate deal, just the same as the Port of New Jersey and Port of New York with Hurricane Sandy was a real estate deal. Those ports in our country were redone, and the disaster capitalism part of it was they were able to then call in the Halliburtons to reconstruct the way they wanted it. They got 35 or however many thousand people out of there, and those people would most of those people never saw their homes again. Same thing happened in New York. So people say, well, why would they do that to their own country? Well, first of all, these people are not particularly concerned with their own country. It's actually safer to experiment at home than it is to go in someone else's country and experiment. That's another idea. But I do think that Naomi Klein's idea of the shock doctrine and disaster capitalism is where we are. The capitalism now is going to be supported not by commerce, not by industry, not by consumerism, but is going to be supported by disasters.
Interesting, interesting. I don't know about you, Elena, but I don't remember voting on any of these chemtrail programs. Do you? I don't remember getting a vote on it. On the
Dennis Kucinich was the only one who tried to address it, and his bill died in committee and was rewritten almost half a dozen times. And then he was not voted back into office, if you recall.
Yes, yes, I do remember that. You do mention on page 102 of your book at the top what this is called for my many listeners around the world. You call it Operation Cloverleaf. Is that right?
Yes, that certainly is the name that was originally given to it.
Okay.
It was called Operation Cloverleaf. Now it has had many progeny since then and has goes under the name of many operations. One of the operations, which I don't know that I want to get into today, but just to give you an idea, is Operation Deep Freeze is going on now. And that has to do with various implementations going on in the Arctic Circle and the Antarctic, having to do with the next phase of this HAARP technology, which also depends upon a heavy metals chemtrail thrust of going on around the planet outside of our atmosphere in space. You know, they're setting it up to make what's called a space fence. I don't know if you've heard of that, and I'm just learning about that now because I'll need that for the next book. The publisher took two chapters out of this book, and I will be writing the next book, which will be about the transhumanist future and this space fence that will surround our planet.
Fence for keep what out? Who out?
Well, it's being sold as the it's to me, when I read about it, it reminds me of President Reagan's SDI, the Strategic Defense Initiative, or Star Wars, where he was talking about building a shield around our nation, he was saying at that time, to keep out ICBMs and various missiles. Well, this space fence will go much beyond that, but I do think it's the same general concept.
Well, I don't want to sound cynical, but the bad aliens, the reptilian aliens, are already here thanks to an agreement that President Eisenhower signed in 1954. I had his granddaughter on a few weeks ago, and she talked all about how her grandfather had signed this agreement, and these reptilians are, in fact, here. They've been interacting covertly with our government in many projects, and a lot of this technology, including HAARP, I think is black technology from these creepy reptilians. So if we do put a fence around the planet, the only logical conclusion, it's meant to keep out the good aliens who want to help us and keep the bad ones in. I don't know.
I don't go into that line of reasoning. I did hear Laura Eisenhower at the Chemtrails conference 2 years ago, I am familiar with her.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't go into those because I can't really document it.
Sure.
But it certainly has occurred to me, Ted, that this fence is certainly going to keep us in. I mean, we're going to be, basically, I do see it as, do you remember C.S. Lewis's book, Out of the Silent Planet? It was one of his science fiction series.
Mm-hmm.
And I do see that this might be a silencing of the planet in the cosmos. Yes,
interesting.
I do.
Interesting, interesting. Well, I, in a few minutes, we'll go to Wendy Wilson, one of the best herbalists on the East Coast. And I do want you to stay on the line, Lane. I don't want you to go. I just want to have her on for a few minutes. She's just going to talk about some herbal remedies for chemtrails.
Okay.
And we'll get her on the line. I'll wait till she gets on. Are you planning any more? You're planning a second book now after your tour is over with, I understand.
Uh-huh.
And that book...
Yeah, the book will, like I said, it's about the future. It's more how this transhumanist agenda is being set up electromagnetically on the planet and around the planet, is how I foresee it. I had wanted to go into some of it in the two chapters taken out. And I think the publisher was right. The book is already overwhelming enough, especially, and we haven't gotten to it, I don't know if you want to, the Morgellons chapter. You know, that's a really very important part of this, it's brand new. And what is the agenda of using us as petri dishes for biological hybrids that have been genetically engineered and have sensors and microprocessors in them on a nano scale? What could possibly be the agenda of that? Well, it appears to me it has to do with plugging our nervous system into this ionized environment and being able to communicate with these little critters in us now that have microprocessors in them, or like little computers.
You know.
So it appears, it just seemed to jump out at me that, yeah, this is all about transhumanism.
Sure, sure.
About enhancing the human being.
I don't know.
As if, you know, you could make development happen in a different way.
Right. I don't know if enhancing is the right word. I mean, that's their perspective, but I look at it
that's
as...
That's their word, yes.
Yeah, yeah, as culling
yes.
the population decreasing. Elena, could you please hold on the line? I want to introduce Wendy Wilson, a wonderful herbalist from the East Coast, one of the best, and I just want to have her on for a few minutes to talk about her company and some of the herbal remedies she has for chemtrails. Wendy, are you there?
Okay,
I'm here, Ted. How are you?
Oh, I'm fine. You're absolutely crystal clear. It's like you're sitting right next to me here.
Well, that's good.
Wendy, may I introduce Elena Freeland? She's one of the world's authorities, in my opinion, on chemtrails. She just released a wonderful book on chemtrails. And I wanted to have you on, Wendy, for a few minutes to just tell people about your wonderful products and how they can cleanse themselves of chemtrails. And if you could give out your company information too, people how to contact you.
Sure. And lovely to meet you, Elena. Always love to meet new authors. That's awesome. Apothecary Herbs. It's been in business 15 years. We're actually putting together our 15th anniversary catalog. And we tend to specialize in immune boosting and organ cleansing products. And the reason is basically I look at this approach to health as pretty simple. It shouldn't be complicated. I didn't think the creator wanted us to have to rely on pharmaceutical industries to, you know, be healthy. So my whole approach to health is cleanse and nourish. So cleanse away the toxins, put good nutrition in, and boost your immune system, and you got pretty much most things whooped, in my opinion. Obviously, you don't want to recongest the system with a lot of bad foods and additives, and we've got so many toxins, like you and Elena were mentioning, coming at us that it's more imperative now than ever before for us to do our due diligence and cleanse on a fairly regular basis. And on our website, we have this section called Healthy Guidelines. And you or Elena or anybody out there listening can go on our website at thepowerherbs.com, and click on that section. And it explains a little bit of how you go about doing organ cleansing for safety and effectiveness. So there's a way you should go about doing it so that you can do it without feeling sick. and having a successful cleanse. So you can check that out at thepowerherbs.com, and also some things on how you should store your herbs and what to look for if you're looking for herbs out there on the market.
Wonderful, wonderful, Wendy. Well, thank you so much for coming on today. Let's talk later on during the weekend. There's some other things I want to talk to you about, but thank you so much. I know I didn't give you much notice to come on today's program, but I did want to have you on because you have a wonderful company. You come highly recommended, and I think people should know about you because if they do want to detox and take the chemical out of their system from the government's chemtrail program, that they can do it and with natural way without any side effects and at a very low cost. So. Wendy, could you please give out your phone number, too, for people?
Absolutely. Yeah, we have a toll-free number. It's 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663. And for international calls, the number is 704-885-0277, 704-885-0277, thepowerherbs.com. And like I say, that's where your healthcare options just became endless.
Okay, wonderful. Well, Wendy, thanks so much for coming on. I wanted to tell everyone about your wonderful company. And again, we'll be in touch here very soon.
All right, take care. Bye, Elena.
Bye.
Okay, hi, Elena.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Elena, your discussion of Morgellons disease and these genetically altered bacteria is, it's both, I find it interesting, but also a little scary, too, to know that those things are being sprayed as well. And I guess...
Yeah, I understand that, but I don't know. Maybe I'm simple-minded. I often refer to the fact that I remember when I gave up meat years ago in the 60s. I think I must have been 21, living in California. Mm-hmm. I had a tapeworm, and I had to go through this process of realizing that I had this parasite living in me. And of course, I went to my chiropractor, and he gave me, I think it was pumpkin seeds, and he gave me, told me to eat lots of pineapple and papaya for a few days. And so, you know, eventually it was evident that the tapeworm had exited without my noticing, but it was a phenomenal experience of, my gosh, I'm living in a mammalian body that parasites can live in too, and often do. And then there's the flora and fauna in our intestinal tract who are our friends, who help us to assimilate and expel fecal matter. So at night we get into bed and, you know, there are, I don't know how many thousands or millions of dust mites in bed with us. I mean, we really do live in an organic world filled with beings that are symbiotic and sometimes parasitic. And in this case, yes, it is different because we're talking about, I mean, and we live in the age of stem cells, cloning. If we look deeply into those two, it's rather disturbing. So the fact that we are inhaling and ingesting what Clifford Carnicum has named the cross species bacteria, this is how it is. It's the only thing different about this little being, which, by the way, I saw from my own blood under Carnicum's microscope. I could see it digging into my erythrocytes because these creatures have been programmed to eat iron. Yes, okay, it's living in me. It was genetically engineered. It has microprocessors and sensors in it. So it is not exactly like the parasites of the last millions of years that human beings have been on the planet. No, this is a unique new being. But Clifford has done a great deal of work to figure out how its behavior affects us. One example, it loves acidity. It hates alkalinity. Hmm. That's a very big facet. In fact, we discovered that because my blood cells looked a little bit better than the other people in the sample. And the reason, at least I thought, and Clifford considered, is that I have followed a pretty much macrobiotic regime for the last 40 years. Yeah. And I you know, no doctors, no naturopaths, because I do my own healing.
Sure.
So I keep an alkaline environment in my body. What? And if I turn acidic, then I revamp my diet the next day. I'm constantly correcting. I'm self-correcting.
Sure.
And I think that's the positive aspect that I want to say to people is, to take care of your immune system.
Sure. Well, I know that there's a doctor in Italy, too, that uses baking soda, large quantities of it, to cure cancer, and he's been very successful there. Of course,
and cancer is another one that feeds off of acidity.
Right,
absolutely.
Exactly. So baking soda is a very inexpensive way to increase your alkalinity. Lena, I've got my friend Scott Lemriel on the line.
Okay.
I'd love to have him on. He's got a very unique perspective about chemtrails. Scott, are you there?
I happen to be here, yes.
Welcome, Scott.
Scott, thanks for having me on.
My pleasure. Scott Lemriel, may I introduce him to my listeners who are not familiar with him. By the way, for those just tuning in, this is the Out of This World radio program. You're listening to Elena Freeland and Scott Lemriel on 1150 AM here in KKNW in Bellevue, Washington, outside Seattle, Washington in the USA. Scott, you've been in contact with benevolent ETs from the Galactic Alliance for the last 52 years, and I think you've got a very unique perspective on chemtrails, and also perhaps you may be able to offer some suggestions on how people could better protect themselves against it.
Most human beings have all human beings have the ability to innately connect with life elsewhere through the pineal gland in the center of the brain. If that area has not been closed down chemically, or as Elena's talking about, through electromagnetic frequency misuse, it's clear, and has been for a very long time to me and others that I associate with, that we have gotten all this great technology after World War II under a treaty that, unfortunately, President Eisenhower, former president, was blackmailed into signing. That goes back to a whole other story, how that came about. So we've been actually classifying worldwide, 35 countries involved in this after World War II, to suppress worldwide real direct knowledge or proof of any extraterrestrial existence or involvement behind the scenes on this planet. But the fact of it is, they've been involved here for many millions of years, in one way or another, since the dinosaurs went extinct more than 50 million years ago. This planet's poles flip overnight about 180 degrees every 100,000 years. It's been six ice ages in 600,000 years. And that makes this a very unique planet for study from outside, because it also means that no planetary culture of advanced beings living here has ever been able to survive as a culture or society past this 100,000 mark. So it also means there's a hidden history that's been kept from people, the true history of their planet and the solar system. The chemtrail issue, which Elena's been talking about, by the way, if you're still on the phone, how are you?
Oh, hi. Hi, Scott. Oh, I'm listening avidly.
Okay, I'm glad to meet you. I just thought you did a great job in explaining this stuff. It's very, very hard for a human being today to get a handle on the reality of what beings and how many and what they are and what they're doing on this planet in the classified military-industrial complex system. It started out with good intentions, I want to say. After World War II, you had a ruined world. Hitler and his scientists had made contact with the little greys people have heard about, illegally breaking an off-world treaty. And their technology for bomb warfare and experimenting on humans, the genetic process, which has been accelerated, that Elena's here talking about, was first given to them. They weren't more brilliant scientists. They were given an edge. They were totalitarians, like the race that contacted them. Those same scientists, SS officers, were absorbed into our society and Russian society after World War II and given pardons, prime positions, like Wernher von Braun, to be the head of NASA, who was an SS officer. These people were all classified with the establishment of the National Security Act under Truman, because they had to create a system. They could do two things with it: create a second government, that was survivable in a nuclear holocaust, separate from the elected officials, and that would not be vulnerable to the whims and fancies of one party or another being in for 8 years. So they could maintain their investigation into extraterrestrial technology, particularly in the Cold War with the Soviet Union, and just keep it quiet. So they wanted people to be baby boomers and rebuild a destroyed world after World War II. So they set down this course of basically lying to everybody in a way that makes it so that the Supreme Court, the third balance of power, cannot penetrate into anything to do with classified material. So all the way back in Truman's time when this law was enacted and the CIA enacted, there's never been a balance, a third balance of power in this country. So when you go back to chemtrails, we always ask the question, why are they doing it to our own people? What I have to share with people is that the people doing this to us, either elected or a hidden government behind the scenes and the military-industrial complex corporations, are no longer, and it should be obvious to anybody, they're no longer in control of what they're doing. The misuse of advanced extraterrestrial technology also allows them to be controlled subconsciously without them being aware it's being done to them. I hope this helps some. The other side of this that's important is that recently, just a little over 3¾ years ago, this galactic, what I call the Galactic Interdimensional Alliance of Free Worlds, which involves several hundred million worlds in just a quarter of our Milky Way galaxy, have recently got a new tool and been given the green light and have given the green light to begin the process of transforming this very backward planet for the first time in galactic history in a unique way. So you're going to start to see more and more of this benevolent intervention, not to kill or take out politicians or the reptilian race Ted talked about, which are the controllers of the tall and short grays, actually. It's about changing them as well, off-world and on the planet, from what is driving them subconsciously to be diabolical in the first place. This is something really unique.
So it's not going to be like an Independence Day war between the different species. It's going to be a slow transformation to a higher
and
spiritual
not
level.
Not so slow.
Not so slow.
But, you know, there's not going to be even the diabolical or the bad ETs out there have never had a vested interest in wanting to destroy and bomb this world into submission. Mm-hmm. Right now, they've got an entire planet full of people working in their jobs and mines, mineralogy, precious metals, rare earth minerals, radioactive material, in such a classified way they can continue under treaty to ship resources off-planet without anybody being aware it's being done.
Interesting.
And this is to get some tidbits of more antiquated extraterrestrial technology into the hands of certain very powerful, very misdirected, very greedy people here.
Interesting. It's interesting you mentioned that because since 2007 there's been a shortage of what's called rare earth materials. And
we were getting them from China, but China upped the ante and charging a lot more for it. So we had to reopen our own mines here,
correct,
which has been done.
Has some of those rare earth materials been shipped off planet to the reptilians as well? Is that why there's partially a shortage?
Well, figure it out.
Okay.
Does this world look like it's under the control of benevolent politicians?
No.
Of course not.
No, no.
And if you have to see that, you can't really blame them. I don't. I mean, you can't blame elected people or people hidden behind the scenes or really running things in a classified government that is not, their members are not elected by the populace ever. You have to understand, these people were just people.
Sure.
Something altered them.
Absolutely.
To behave the way they're being now. And they couldn't see it coming because it's done so very subtly.
You, Elena, you're there? Are you there?
Mm-hmm.
You spoke earlier.
Yeah, sure, I'm here.
Okay, good. You spoke earlier about Bill Gates, what he used to be like and what he's like now. And what you just said, Scott, about people being altered immediately stuck in my, came to mind.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing, too, is that, Elena, you mentioned earlier about the Earth's atmosphere. They seem to want to terraform it into a plasma ionized atmosphere. And my question, Scott, is in the reptilians where they live, is that the kind of, are they terraforming the planet to make it more friendly to the reptilians and less friendly to humans?
The idea is they're changing the atmosphere to be more friendly to someone who would like to take over this planet and use human beings as slaves. It's not going to happen. It's one thing I want to make very, very clear.
Sure.
The agenda to transform this world or retire evil as an experiment is already underway.
Mm-hmm.
You talked about the radiation that vanished off the West Coast. It's an example of things you will not see on your major primetime news channels or CNN about what these people are doing.
Right.
They're going to go about this in a way, and this is the key point. They have a new tool now, or a way to neutralize implantation programming in the subconscious electromagnetic field of human beings, an energy field. They don't even need to put nanotechnology in people anymore. That's the road they started down. Now it's simple. They can just program terrorizing images into the subconscious of people below their level of awareness to coerce their nervous system to react in certain ways to things when they start going down a path to discover what's been taken from them, full awareness of their being,
mm-hmm.
and suppress. When they go in that direction, people will have a reaction in the nervous system and generally head in the opposite direction until they get a little bit more courage and a little bit more advanced in experience about how to control this until it can be safely neutralized. And this is the thing. If a technology is being used to control people without their awareness, because it goes into a field of energy through certain carrier waves into the electromagnetic field and it's planted there.
Sure.
That same technology, which is being misused by breaking an off-world treaty amongst races that goes back 500,000 years, that same technology can be easily reversed by people from out of town who know how to do it.
Sure.
And are experts at it.
Like they've removed the radiation from the Pacific.
Exactly. That's the technology, the way to transform a planet in a good way, to waken human beings on a massive level, to change the environment, the pollution, the radiation, nuclear materials. That has never been a problem for the advanced human and other races out there. The problem has been how to do it to extricate or alter the diabolic behavior of negative ETs outside who always try to find ways to break a treaty just short of war.
Right.
And how to do it on hidden things on this planet that are classified,
Scott,
without causing death and destruction. That's been the problem all along.
Scott, we're running just a few minutes here, my friend. I just wanted to say quickly that for those tuning in, this is the Out of This World radio program with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting from the studios of KKNW, 1150 AM here in Bellevue, Washington, just outside of Seattle in the USA. And I just wanted to tell my many listeners around the world that next week we'll be having Rolf Dieter Stroll from Germany. He's the most famous ethnobotanist in Europe. He actually is able to talk to plants. It should be very interesting. He does a lot of herbal work as well. And we will also have a special guest on for the second hour. I want to thank everyone for listening in. And this program is supported by listener donations. If you'd like to donate, please go to our website at www.outofthisworld1150.com. And go to the donate button at the upper right-hand corner. Even a dollar would help. For those donating $25 or more, you'll get a free psychic reading from yours truly. And just email me if you're interested in that. My email address is outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. Elena, Scott, thank you so much for coming on today. Elena, I want to give you Scott, go ahead and have 20 seconds, and I want to give the rest of the time to Elena.
Yeah,
wrap
I want to make sure people know that if they want to find out a lot more about what has been purposely hidden from them on a cosmic or a grand multidimensional scale, they can obtain the book that I've written about this subject, which is more of a new kind of channel. It's called The Say Raise Agenda. It's available online everywhere at bookstores or through my website at paralleltime.com. And it's important because when people read the book or go through it, they're going to find a technique which I talk about in live presentations and on radio like your show and others in Coast to Coast, how to connect with this purposefully hidden truth themselves and begin to have experiences relative to what's revealed in the book.
We've got about a minute left. Scott, thank you so much for sharing that with us, and I appreciate you so much for coming on. I'm sorry to cut you short, my friend. Elena, go ahead and have the last minute of the show. I wanted you to wrap things up today.
Okay, bye, Scott.
Bye, Elena.
The Chemtrails Harp and the Full Spectrum Dominance of Planet Earth, the book is available at The signed copies can be obtained through Feral House, F-E-R-A-L House, the publisher. And then there's Amazon. And then your local bookstore, your distributor should be able to get it if they don't have it already. And otherwise, that's there's the website that has to do, the Facebook page that has to do with new materials going up every day, and it's under the name of the book. And that's about it, I think.
Wonderful. Lena, thank you so much. You can always go to my website, too, where I have Elena listed. I hope everyone has a wonderful weekend, and thank you so much for listening and making Out of This World Radio the best and most interesting radio program, psychic program in the world. Bye, everyone. Have a nice weekend.